This episode is brought to you by Prep Starts Now, because life doesn't come with a warning. When an emergency strikes, whether it's a power outage, natural disaster, or even a medical scare, the last thing you want is panic. Prep Start Now empowers families to be ready with the right tools, knowledge, and confidence. They're about smart planning so you can focus on protecting your family instead of scrambling for solutions. Their shop has everything from first aid kits and water filtration to backup power and essential gear. Plus, their Prep Academy makes it easy to learn emergency skills with simple guides and quick tips anyone can follow. I've arranged an exclusive 15% discount for my listeners. Just go to prepstartsnow.com and use promo code ZEROSIGNAL at checkout, or click the link in my show notes where the discount is applied automatically. Don't wait for the next crisis. Take action today. That's prepstartsnow.com. Promo code ZEROSIGNAL. What if the same company that fills your breakfast bowls once helped design the tools of biological warfare? That's what I'm telling you, folks. Behind the smiling mascots, the bright boxes, and the jingles that define childhood mornings lies a story the public was never meant to taste. Declassified government files suggest that General Mills, yes, the cereal giant, was once connected to a secret Cold War research involving aerosols, powdered stimulant, and high-altitude balloon tests. The same engineers who perfected puffed grains may have been perfecting something far more dangerous. In this episode of Zero Signal Shorts, we dig into the irony of a company built on comfort food that once flirted with military science. This is not about an accusation. It's about exploring how the same knowledge used to make breakfast better could also make warfare invisible. Remember to tune in every Tuesday at 6 a.m. Eastern for our full-length deep dives. This is Zero Signal Shorts.
Now, the freshness and fluffiness of spring buds comes to instant mashed potatoes. Introducing mashed potato buds. New from Betty Crocker. Unlike any other instance, potato buds begin with tiny bits of Idaho potatoes. And potato buds blossom into mashed potatoes that are light, fluffy, and better tasting than any others, even homemade. Try mashed potato buds. New from Betty Crocker.
Before we go any further, let's step back and remember who we're talking about. Today, General Mills isn't a defense contractor. It's breakfast. It's bright-colored boxes, cartoon mascots, and the sound of cereal hitting the bowl. Their products dominate grocery aisles. Cheerios, Wheaties, Lucky Charms, Cocoa Puffs, Trix, and many, many more. They own baking staples under the Betty Crocker name. Gold metal flour, refrigerated doughs, snack bars like Nature Valley, organic lines like Cascadian Farm, even pet foods like Blue Buffalo. They've grown into a multinational empire, feeding millions every morning. Yet many of their products are criticized as ultra-processed, high in sugar, low in nutrition, and designed for shelf life over sustenance. It's a familiar story, a company that profits by feeding us what nutritionists call very bad food. And that's where the irony begins, because decades earlier, this same company was quietly working with the government on technologies designed to control something else entirely, not flavor, but particles in the air.
Chemical weapons can be both powerful and terrifying. Toxic substances that attack the skin, blood, nerves, or respiratory system, causing painful injury and maybe even death. The terrors of chemical-soaked battlefields in World War I led to regulations banning the use in warfare. But today, chemical weapon use persists in battle and beyond. Various chemicals have been used in both war and personal attacks for centuries. But industrial production of chemicals in the late 1800s made them more widespread, and ultimately led to the use of chemical weapons in World War I. It's estimated that during World War I, chemicals like mustard gas injured 1 million soldiers and killed 100,000, often in horrible, painful ways. The terrible tales from war led to the creation of the 1925 Geneva Protocol, which aimed to ban chemical weapons, though Japan and the U.S. didn't sign for decades. Still, Geneva helped in that it curtailed use of chemicals during World War II. However, countries were still making the weapons, setting the stage for incidents like the U.S.'s use of Agent Orange in Vietnam in the 60s and Iraq's chemical warfare in the Iran-Iraq War in the 80s. those images thrust chemical weapons back into the public eye, helping advance negotiations for the Chemical Weapons Convention, banning their production and use in war. In 1993, several countries signed, but since then there have been many incidents of chemical weapons use.
During the Cold War, industrial expertise was as valuable as military hardware. General Mills, with its mastery of milling and particle control, was reportedly tapped to assist in aerosol research experiments, studying how to grind materials into powders fine enough to stay suspended in the air. Engineers learned how to create micron-sized particles and prevent them from clumping together. They built nozzles, ran wind tunnel tests, and launched high-altitude balloons under the cover of weather research. Reports carried the title of dissemination of solid and liquid agents. Some used harmless stimulants to model the spread of potential airborne materials, tracing how powders might travel, survive, and disperse. The skill set was chilling. What helps flour flow smoothly through a silo could, in theory, help fine particles drift invisibly through the atmosphere. Imagine a cereal plant filled with mixers, hoppers, and grinders. Now imagine that same setup, not for oats, but for spores. The same engineering that perfected pancake mix could now perfect powdered bacteria. In daylight, the company sold food to families. In secrecy, its scientists studied dispersion clouds. The boundary between breakfast and battlefield was thinner than anyone could have guessed. Then there's another twist. During the same period, General Mills was involved in high-altitude balloon programs, officially for meteorology and recon, but those balloons were also capable of testing how aerosols spread in the upper atmosphere. Some researchers later described a growing unease, a sense that their work might not be purely scientific. As the Cold War deepened, moral lines blurred. When the projects ended, General Mills quietly sold off its defense operations and returned back to food. The surviving documents are fragmented. Many redacted, and none confirm whether live biological agents were ever used. Still, they reveal the ambition to make aerosols stable in the atmosphere, reliable, and invisible. That knowledge didn't vanish. It resurfaced in later defense and biodefense projects, long after the cereal boxes were back on store shelves. Now, fast forward to present day. The same company that once helped perfect aerosol systems sells billions in packaged foods each year. Its factories use the same precision. Particle size, texture control, thermal stability, preservation, the engineering of appetite replaced with the engineering of aerosols. When critics call these foods addictive or unhealthy, engineered for profit more than nourishment, it feels poetic. A company once tied to biological research now sells edible chemistry that changes the body more slowly, more subtly. Maybe the weapons just evolved from those that harm instantly to those that profit gradually. Food science and weapon science share a vocabulary: stability, dispersion, delivery, control. The only difference is intent. When the same corporate DNA can feed nations and fuel militaries, what does that say about the line between nourishment and manipulation? We may never hear the original recordings from the Cold War labs, the whir of machines or the hiss of compressed air, the arguments about ethics, but the echo remains, carried quietly through every cereal aisle, that this food is horrible for you. Perhaps it's time General Mills didn't abandon the science of biological influence. Perhaps they just changed its purpose. Maybe they shifted from creating weapons that targeted the body to crafting products that targeted the appetite. The biological harm became slower, safer, and far more profitable. A steady drip of sugar, of salt, of synthetic flavor that keeps us coming back for more and more, like in this video.
What's wackier than a rabbit punch?
Is it canoeing with your pet gorilla?
Uh-uh. It's eating banana wackies.
Banana wackies? Wow!
Wackiest cereal. From General Mills, they promote and banana-flavored bits in the wackiest shape. Banana bingo.
Banana jangles.
Oak loop.
Oak clot.
And lots more wacky shapes. It's the new old cereal with banana flavor that's the wackiest.
The lip-smackiest.
Wacky.
Yeah.
A new Big G General Mills cereal.
It's the wackiest.
Banana wackiest, Tom. What they're showing us is a cartoon gorilla and boy eating a cereal filled with marshmallows and sugar, what later turned into an addiction and a generation of obese Americans. What I tell everybody is be careful what you're feeding your children, because companies out there, they don't care about their health and nutrition. They care about their bottom line. But, you know, this episode isn't about vilifying a certain company. It's about patterns, how commerce, science, and defense intertwine, and how public trust is often traded for innovation. General Mills didn't invent the marriage between industry and the military. It simply illustrates it perfectly. The same brand that sells Breakfast of Champions once contributed to the science of covert control. And perhaps it still does today. What we do know is that the defense contract records don't vanish. They just go quiet. From the early 2000s through the mid-2010s, General Mills maintained a steady relationship with the Department of Defense, supplying rations, baking mixes, and cooking oils through the Defense Logistics Agency and the Defense Commissary Agency. Government procurement databases list nearly $2 billion worth of awarded contracts during that period, not for research or weapons, but for sustenance, cereals, grains, and shelf-stable goods that keep bases stocked and soldiers fed. At least that is what they tell us. Then somewhere around 2014, the public paper trail fades away. The annual totals drop to zero, and the records stop listing General Mills by the name. Maybe the contracts ended as military supply food chains consolidated under larger distributors like Sysco and Tyson. Or maybe the work simply shifted, buried under subcontractors, private label logistics, or subsidiaries that never needed to carry the General Mills brand. Because in modern defense procurement, disappearance doesn't always mean departure. Sometimes it just means the logo was removed, the contract rebundled, and the supply line made invisible. Who knows what they are doing behind government closed doors? So tomorrow morning, when you pour your cereal and see that smiling G on the box, take another look. That logo isn't just about marketing. It's a monument to the merger of optimism and industry. The food that built families was engineered by minds that once studied dispersion clouds. Different ingredients, same exact process. And maybe that's the real conspiracy. Not secret meetings or hidden labs, but normalization. A world where making food and making weapons become two sides of the same machine. But for me and my family, I'm opting out, steering clear of anything that might trace his origins to a sanitized bioweapon philosophy dressed up as progress and slip quietly onto our plates. You've been listening to Zero Signal. Stay tuned for more forgotten intersections of science, secrecy, and society. Next time, we'll explore another story where innovation and manipulation share the exact same recipe. Until then, eat carefully, question everything, and remember, sometimes the biggest conspiracies are hidden in plain sight, printed right on the back of cereal boxes.